discussed the army, of whom it should consist of, and how the ignorant, ruthless, and corrupt mercenaries should not be allowed to join the army as a profession. He lays great stress upon the honor and the nobility of volunteers who, in time of need, offer their voluntary services to defend the Islamic State. Finally, he commences on the rights of rulers over the ruled and of the ruled over the rulers. There is a main central idea running all through these instructions, like one single thread out of which the cloth is woven. It is that of Allah. The regime is of Allah. The governors and the governed are both creatures of Allah. Their respective duties are laid down by Allah. He expects each one of them to fulfill his obligations and to do his duties. The orphans and the depressed are the trust of Allah. The army is the army of Allah, whose soldiers should not behave like haughty and arrogant mercenaries, but like honorable and noble knights. Everyone is expected to do his duty to the best of his ability. He will be rewarded in paradise accordingly. In short, this letter is, on the one hand, the gospel, the principles of administration, as taught by the Holy Quran, a code to establish a kind and benevolent rule, throwing light on various aspects of justice, benevolence, and mercy. An order based on the ethics of divine rulership, where justice and mercy are shown to human beings, irrespective of class, creed, and color. Where poverty is neither a stigma nor a disqualification, and where justice is not tainted with partisan, favoritism, provincialism, or religious fanaticism. And on the other hand, it is a thesis on the higher values of morality. The famous Arab Christian jurist, poet, and philosopher, Abdul Masih al-Thaqi, who died sometime in the beginning of the 20th century, while discussing this letter, writes that it is a far superior and better code than the one handed down by Moses and Hammurabi. It explains what a human administration should be like, how it is to be carried on. It justifies the claims of Muslims that Islam wants to introduce a divine administration of the people, for the people, and by the people. And it wants that a ruler should rule not to please himself, but to bring happiness to the ruled. And no religion before Islam tried to achieve this end. Ali should be congratulated for having introduced these principles during his rule, and for having written them down for the posterity. In the name of Allah, beneficent, the merciful. These are the orders issued by the creature of Allah, Ali, son of Abu Talib, to Malik, son of Ashtar. When he appointed Malik as the governor of Egypt, to collect zakat there, to combat the enemies of Islam and Egypt, to work for the welfare of its people, and to look after its prosperity. I order you, Malik, always to keep fear of Allah in your mind, to give priority to his worship, and to give preference to obeying his commands over every other thing in life, to carefully and faithfully follow the commandments and interdictions as are given by the Holy Book and the traditions of the Holy Prophet. The success of man to attain happiness in this world and in the next depends on these qualities, and the failure to achieve these attributes brings about total failure in both the worlds. I order you to use your head, heart, hands, and tongue to help the creatures of Allah, because the Almighty Allah holds himself responsible to help those who sincerely try their best to help him. Allah has further ordered you to keep your desires under control, to keep yourself under restraint when extravagant and inordinate yearnings and cravings try to drive you towards vice and wickedness, because usually yourself tries to incite and drag you towards infamy and damnation unless the merciful Lord comes to your help. Let it be known to you, Malik, that I am sending you as a governor to a country which had seen many regimes before this. Some of them were benign, sympathetic, and good, while others were tyrannical, oppressive, and cruel. yourself with such a false prestige that you can declare war against Allah, because you cannot ward off His wrath, and you can never be freed from the need of His mercy and compassion. Do not feel ashamed to forgive and forget. Do not hurry into giving punishments, and do not be pleased with and proud of your power to punish. Do not get angry, and do not lose your temper quickly over the mistakes and failures of those over whom you rule. On the contrary, be patient and sympathetic towards them. Anger and desire of vengeance are not going to be of much help to you in your administration. Never say to yourself, I am their lord, their ruler, and all in all over them, and that I must be obeyed submissively and humbly. Because such a thought will unbalance your mind, will make you vain and arrogant, will weaken your faith in religion, and will make you seek support of any power other than that of Allah. If you ever feel any pride or vanity on account of your sway and rule over your subjects, then think of the supreme sway and rule of the Lord over the universe, the extent of His creations, the supremacy of His might and glory, His power to do things that you cannot even dream of doing, and His control over you, which is more dominating than that which you can ever achieve over anything around you. Such thoughts will cure your mental weakness, will keep you away from vanity and rebellion against Allah, will reduce your arrogance and haughtiness, and will take you back to the sanity which you had foolishly deserted. Take care never to think of bringing yourself on a par with Allah, never to think of matching your power with Him and contesting. And whoever earns the wrath of Allah loses all chances of salvation and has no excuse to offer on the day of judgment. Every tyrant and oppressor is an enemy of Allah, unless he repents and gives up oppression. Remember, Malik, that there is nothing in this world more effective and quicker to turn His blessings into His wrath than persisting in oppression over His creatures. Because the merciful Allah will always hear the prayers of those who have been oppressed, and He will give no chance to oppressors. You must always appreciate and adopt a policy which is neither true savior nor true leader. A policy which is based upon equity will be largely appreciated. Remember that the displeasure of common men, the have-nots, and the depressed person overbalances the approval of important persons, while the displeasure of a few big people will be excused by the law if the general public and the masses of your subjects are happy with you. Remember, Malik, that usually these big personages are mainly the scum of human society. They are the people who will be the worst to drag upon you during your moments of peace and happiness, and the least useful to you during your hours of need and adversity. They hate justice the most. They will keep on demanding more and more out of state resources, and will seldom be satisfied with what they receive, and will never be obliged for the favor shown to them if their demands are justifiably refused. They will never accept any reasonable excuse or any rational argument, and when the time changes, you will never find them staunch, faithful and loyal. While the commonwealth, the poor, and apparently the less important section of your subjects are the pillars of Islam, they are the real assemblage of Muslims and the power and defensive force against the enemies of Islam. Keep your mind on their affairs. Be more friendly with them and secure their trust and loyalty. firefighters and scandal mongers belong to mean and cunning people, though they pretend to be sincere advisors. Do not make haste to believe the news they bring, and do not pay heed to their advice. Do not accept the advice of the misers. They will try their best to keep you away from acts of kindness and from doing good to others. They will make you frightened of poverty. Similarly, do not allow crowds to act as your advisors, as they will make you timid in enforcing your orders, will prevent you from handling important affairs boldly, and will make your enterprises and innovations timid and timorous attempts. At the same time, avoid greedy and covetous persons who would aspire to the position of acting as your counselor, because he will teach you how to exploit humility and how to oppress people to get their wealth. Remember that miserliness, cowardice, and greed appear to be different wicked qualities, but they all arise from the same evil mentality of having no faith and no trust in Allah. Your worst ministers will be the men who have been ministers to the despotic rulers before them, and who have been a party to atrocities committed by them. Such persons should not be taken into your confidence and should not be trusted, because they have aided sinners and have assisted tyrants and true rulers. In their stead, you can comfortably find persons who are equally wise and learned, but who have not developed sinful and criminal mentalities, who have neither helped the tyrants in their tyrannies, nor have they assisted them to carry on their sinful deeds. Such persons will prove the least troublesome to you. They will be most helpful. They will sincerely sympathize with you. If you take them in your confidence, they will sever their connection with your opponents. Keep such people with you as your companions in your common company, as well as the official enemies. From amongst such honest and human companions and ministers, some would receive your fullest confidence and trust. They are those who can always speak out the bitter truth to you, and deservedly and without fear of your status, who can refuse to assist or associate with the deeds which Allah does not like as good creatures to commit. Select honest, truthful, and pious people as your companions. Train them not to flatter you and not to seek your favor by false graces, because flattery and false graces create vanity and conceit, and they make a man lose sight of his real self and ignore his status. You should not treat good and bad people alike, because in this way you will be discouraging good persons, and at the same time emboldening the wicked to carry on their wickedness. Everyone should receive the treatment which his deeds make him deserve. Try carefully to realize that the ruler can create goodwill in the minds of his subjects and make them faithful and sincere to him only when he is kind and considerate to them. When he reduces their troubles, when he does not oppress them, when he never asks for things which are beyond their power. These are the principles which you should keep in mind and act upon. Let your attitude be such as they will not mistake you, because they put faith in their heart, will reduce many troubles in administration, and will relieve you of many worries and anxieties. And so far as your confidence and trust is concerned, let it rest with those people whom you have tested in difficulties and whom you have been friendly. But you there are commonly Muslims who pay the tax levied by the government, and non-Muslims who pay tribute to the state in lieu of taxes. Then comes the class of men who carry on various professions and trades, and the last but not the least part of the world, and the have-nots, who are considered as the lowest class of the society, who, as per Allah, has fixed the rights and duties of each one of them. They have been either mentioned in this book or explained through the instructions of the Holy Prophet, but we ordered them to preserve the mass. As far as the soldiers are concerned, they are, by the command of Allah, a fortress and stronghold to guard and defend the subjects and the state. They are the ornaments of the ruler and the country. They provide power and protection to the religion. They propagate and preserve peace among mankind. In fact, they are the real guardians of peace, and through them, good internal administration can be maintained. The upkeep and maintenance of an army depends upon the taxes collected by the state, part of which Allah has fixed for them a share. With this amount, they provide for their requirements, maintain themselves and their arms in sound position to defend the religion and the cause of justice. The army and the common men, common citizens, pay taxes or tributes, are two important classes. But in a welfare state, their well-being cannot be guaranteed without proper functioning and preservation of the other classes. The judges and magistrates, the secretaries of the state, and the officers of various departments collect various revenues, maintain law and order, as well as preserve peace and amity among the diverse classes of the society. They also guard the rights and privileges of the citizens, and look to the performances of numerous duties by individuals and classes. And the prosperity of this whole setup depends upon the traders and industrialists. They act as medium between the consumers and the suppliers. They collect the requirements of society. They exert to provide goods. They open up shops, markets, and trading centers, thus providing the consumers with their necessities. They relieve the citizens of the need of money after their deficits of life. Then comes the class of the poor and the disabled persons. It is absolutely necessary that they would be looked after, healthy, and well provided.
4. The merciful Allah has explained the ways and means of maintaining and providing for each of these classes. And every one of this class has the right upon the ruler of the state that at least minimum necessities for its well-being and contented living are provided. Remember, Malik, that Almighty Allah will not absolve any ruler from his obligations unless he sincerely tries his best to discharge his duties, invokes Allah to help him in their performances, remains steadfast and diligent on the path of truth and justice, and bears all this whether the performance of these duties is congenial or hateful to him. So far as the army is concerned, its chief and commander should be a person who is most sincere and faithful to Allah, to the Holy Prophet, and to our Imam, who is most pious, who is famous for his forbearance, clemency, gentleness, who is neither short-tempered, nor does he get angry quickly, who sympathetically treats sincere excuses and accepts apologies, who is kind and compassionate to the weak, but severe against the strong and the powerful, who has no vindictiveness which might lead to violence or inferiority complex or weak-mindedness which makes them helpless and dejected. To find and select such persons, you should have contacts with pious and noble families, with high ideals and exalted traditions, families well known for their bravery and courage and generosity and magnanimity. These are the people who may be considered as sources of magnificence and sublimity of character and fountainheads of piety and good deeds. When you have found and selected such persons, then keep an eye over them and watch them as parents watch their children, so that you may find out if there appears any change in their behavior. Treat them kindly and sympathetically. Do not grudge highest considerations to them if they rightly deserve, and do not refuse small mercies. This kind of treat it reciprocal tender in them and they will trust you and will be faithful to you, under the impression that you have paid enough attention to their major necessities and wants. Do not close your eyes to their minor requirements and needs, because small favors often bear better fruits, though careful attention to major necessities is very important. Among the military officers, those should receive your highest respect and consideration who pay most attention to the needs of the soldiers under their command, who come forward to help the soldiers with their personal means and property, so that the soldiers may lead a happy and contented life and may have full confidence of the future of their families and children. If the soldiers are thus satisfied and are free from tears and care, then they will bravely and wholeheartedly face the conflicts. Your constant attention towards the officers and the soldiers will make them love you more and more. The thing which should most gladden the heart of a ruler is the fact that his state is being ruled on the principles of equity and justice, and that his subjects love him. And your subjects will love you only when they have no grievance against you. Their sincerity and loyalty will be proved if they gather around you to support your government. When they accept your authority without considering it an unbearable burden on their heads, and when they do not secretively wish your rule to come to an end, so let them have as many justifiable hopes in you as they can, and fulfill as many as you reasonably can. Speak well of those who deserve your praise. Appreciate the good deeds done by them, and let these good actions be known publicly. The correct and timely publicity of noble actions and golden deeds creates more zeal in the minds of the brave and emboldens the cowards and the weaklings. You must know and realize the good deeds done by every single individual, so that the credit of noble deeds done by one may not be given to another. Do not underestimate and underpay the good work done. Similarly, do not overpay a work simply because it has been done by a very important person, and do not let his position and prestige be the cause of overvaluation of the merit of his work. And at the same time, do not undervalue a great deed if it is done by a very ordinary person or a commoner. Let equity, justice, and fair play be your motto. When you are faced with problems which you cannot solve, or with a difficult situation from which you cannot escape, or when uncertain and doubtful circumstances confuse and perplex you, then you turn to Allah and the Holy Prophet, because Allah has thus ordered those whom He wants to guide. The way to turn to Allah is to act diligently according to the clear and explicit orders given in His Holy Book, and to turn to Holy Prophet means to follow those of His orders about which there is no doubt and ambiguity, and which have been generally accepted to be recorded. So far as dispensing of justice is concerned, you have to be very careful in selecting officers for the same. You must select people of excellent character and high caliber, and with meritorious record. They must possess the following qualifications: abundance of litigations and complexity of cases should not make them lose their temper. When they realize they have committed a mistake in judgment, they should not insist on it by trying to justify it. When truth is made clear to them, or when right path opens up before them, they should not consider it below their dignity to correct the mistake made or to undo the wrong done by them. They should not be corrupt, covetous, or greedy. They should not be satisfied with ordinary inquiry or scrutiny of a case, but should scrupulously go through all the cons. They must examine every aspect of the problem carefully, and whenever and wherever they find doubtful and ambiguous points, they must stop, go through details, clear the points, and only then proceed with their decisions. They must attach greatest importance to reasonings, arguments, and proofs. They should not get tired of lengthy discussions and arguments. They must exhibit patience and perseverance in scanning the details, in testing the points presented as true, in sifting facts from fiction, and when truth is revealed to them, they must pass their judgments without fear, favor, or prejudice. They should not develop vanity and conceit when compliments and praises are showered upon them. They should not be misled by flattery and cajolery. But unfortunately, there are a few persons having such characteristics. After you have selected such men to act as your judges, make it a point to go through some of their judgments and to check their proceedings.